So, God bless everyone and welcome to another leaders meeting, the 23rd of February, 2025. And truly, God has called all of us here, and we are rising up by the power of God. God's working in us. He's given us great heavenly words so that we got the right vision and direction. And it's through the heavenly words that God builds the vision, so we got the direction. And we really do have the direction, guys. And we can't afford to let the past stop us. The things that happened to us in the past, the sorrow, the hurts, bad words, maybe badly treated by other believers. We have to let that go. And then forgive those people in our hearts so that we're set free so that we can move and really receive everything that God wants us to do to move on in power and in strength. And God is working in every single one of us mightily. And really, don't let the world distract you. You know, I love what Carl Morton also shared about first. You know, really, that is the top priority. And what Danny also shared about how he goes to work and he really wants to be full-time. Amber also really wants to be full-time. And that's a desire that they put to God, and God's working that need and desire in their heart to do that. And he'll work with their faith to the point of taking action to that day. To that day comes where they actually give the job up. And it just reminded me, you know, for years and years and years, you know, I had so many different jobs because I was never happy in any job I had. And, you know, my mind was different back then. I wasn't really thankful that I had a job. I should have been. But I just didn't like being at, you know, at a certain place at certain times doing certain things and taking break times when I was told to take a break time. It was like being at school. Having permission to go to work and to go to the toilet or to take a toilet break or something like that. You know, it just really, the work lifestyle wasn't for me, even though I did work and I did do the things. And I had many fantastic jobs as well, very good one. My best job was a salesman, and I made some good money doing that as well. And I, you know, telesales and marketing and traveling around the country doing that. And so, you know, I've had my experiences building on building sites, doing late nights, mm-hmm. working in bakeries, you name it, I've done it, and I hated every single one of them. And so the point is that it was always in my heart to, God, I know there's something better for me. I know you've got something better for me. Give, you know, show me what it is. Show me what I got to do. You know, I can't go to Bible college because I never learned anything at school. I can't read or write. And I can't do these things that, know these academic people do, but God did give me an education when I took the classes. That really helped me a lot to be able to read a lot more better and understand, and then looking into Greek and Hebrew and getting a little bit of understanding there. But my desire grew to move with God. But even in the circle that I was moving in back in those days, where the classes were, you know, you had to be if you wanted to go into their programs, you had to have certain qualifications. Well, I didn't qualify. And how carnal was that? Because God's already qualified me. He's given me Holy Spirit to move, right? So all those things growing up, not being wise on these things, as I continue to grow with God, then, you know, God was able to direct me and navigate me. I was growing through all these processes, by the way. It wasn't that I didn't learn nothing at all. I was growing in a lot of different areas and recognizing how God is such a good God and that nothing's impossible. And then I met Sandgate in 2003, he come to our home from a travel from the USA. He visited his Beatrice's cousin up in Oxford, and then he decided to know anyone that really wanted to move for God. He asked another believer in the USA, and they gave him my contact details, and we contacted, and he came down. And overnight, my life changed, you know, because for 10 years, I was praying to God, you've got to give me a word. Just give me something, a direction, something that I know that you're working. 10 years after all these, after we come out of the ministry and everything. But I still always done a fellowship. Even when everyone else stopped and nobody was interested, I still run the fellowship. Always have done, and I'll always, by the grace of God, continue to do that. So I was just being faithful in what I knew at the level of where I was. And, you know, and always doubting myself because of other people's cleverness and, you know, wise words, so to speak. And really, they were nothing in that sense, only what they knew from the carnal and their educational mind. But when God calls you, he calls you. and he makes a way where there seems no way. He will promote you up through the ranks, so to speak, to get you where he wants you to be, because it's not about me. This is all about God, what he plans to do through my life. And like through each one of us, we can change many lives, and God knows this. And God's equipped us, and he's qualified us, all of us. All of us are qualified. None of us are better than anyone else. But it's according to your desire and the needs and what you want to do in your life. And it doesn't matter your age either, whether you're 10 or you're 110. If your desire is to move with God, then you can do it. Nothing can stop you. Only you. Not the devil can't stop you. Or you can let other people try and stop you. But it's according to your desire and the need to pursue God for that desire. And this is why it's good that we speak about our desires on here and what we want to do. Because anything that's in your heart that you want to do with God, you can actually achieve it. Else it wouldn't be in your heart. And because God's placed that in there. He's placed it in there. He knows the plans and the thoughts he has towards you. They're thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you hope, expectation, and a future. And an expected end, that we're going to live our days in great expectation, great joy, seeing the deliverance of God, looking at the life of Job. Look at, he had a great expectation. God blessed him double. And Abraham and all and Moses, all the things God done with them, working with their faith. It's all about the faith. And faith comes from the words of God, from the word of God, the word spoken by God through his men and women that walk by the Spirit of God. This builds your imagination. Your imagination is where you collect pictures, thoughts, ideas, and that where you can see yourself. And that's why I like those scriptures that says, you know, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where do you see yourself 5 years down the road? Where do you see yourself at the end of this year? And if you desire a fellowship, do you see anyone in your home? Do you see yourself speaking to anyone? See, what you can do, God can give you that mental capacity to visualize those people right in front of you, even though they're not there. I've sat in this living room here, in the old house and in this new house we got here, even though it's 20 years old now, with just me in the living room, visualizing, talking to the walls, believing that, visualizing in my mind, people were listening to me. Encouraging people, I was able to share like I'm actually sharing now, but obviously I was using scriptures back then. So your imagination is where God speaks to. That's the innermost part of your heart, your thoughts. And that's why we're to guard our heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life, this life and living with God. And God can perfectly navigate you into your desire because it's his desire in your heart. And if you delight yourself in God, he will give you the desires of your heart. He will help it to come into fruition as you stay with him, as you practice with him, as you don't get discouraged, as you don't let the things distract you. You've got to stay with God no matter what's going on, because you're already victorious. You're already living from the right hand of God, and you're more than a super conqueror, way above that. You're bigger than Superman. And you're and we live from the heavenlies, not from the carnally, right? We're not coming from earth, we're coming from heaven, from the heavenly thoughts, the heavenly way, the heavenly ideas. And then God obviously walked me through the steps to the point that even though no one agreed with me, everyone thought I was crazy, 2005, God gave me a dream, very clear, proper dream, a dream of God, and I woke up knowing that this day I don't go back to the circular world to work, but now I'm under God's jurisdiction in that area. And then I told Kim, and we argued for months over this, because obviously she said, well, God, you know, God don't just chuck money out the sky, Lawrence. What Walt Disney film you've been watching? It was quite funny, really, how she was very comical in the way that she spoke to me about it. But and I could totally understand where she was coming from, because she didn't know the conviction in my heart and knowing in my heart. I didn't know, understand it all, but I had a knowing in my heart, this is what God was calling me to do. So when that day come, I said, oh, by the way, love, as of today, I don't go back to the circular world to work. I now work for God. And she said, oh, it's about time. Because God took care of it for me. He had to take care of her heart, because I couldn't persuade her, but God had to do it. So I had to go to God and say, God, you know, you take care of this. And God just put a word in my heart, Lawrence, you take care of my business and I will take care of yours. And Kim, is my business. She's my wife, right? And and I'm the head of this home, not like as the, I'm the man, you do as you're told, but I'm responsible. My role as a husband is a very responsible role, to take care of the things, to take care of my wife, to take care of my home. Doesn't mean so I'm better than Kim, because we're equal. It's just the function that I got to do as the man of the house, right? As the head of the house, like Christ says, wife, you know, wives love your men love your husbands, and you know, women respect the man as the head, right? Because Christ is the head of all of us. So anyway, with these things, God just kind of worked it out, and from the first day, God had someone there that wanted a gift to me, and then it just built from there and to the point where I am now. That was in June 2005. Now we're, what, February 2025, and God has kept me, and God has blessed me. I've been through many different things, many ups and downs, but God's kept me. And I've been blessed, actually, when I look back, the majority of the time, even the tough times, I was blessed. You know, I was kind of happy, even though I was uncertain at times of where I was. But God really is with you. And you got to take some steps. You know, you got to take some boldness. Be a bit bold. Take some steps. Step into the unknown. Like I stepped into the unknown to me. I just knew that that was the direction I needed to take. So I took that first step. I stepped with God. I began, as Sangeet would encourage us. You know, you just begin. So you'll get that knowing in your heart to do that. Like Danny and Amber don't have to sit there and think, okay, when is this going to happen? When do we know it's right? You'll just know. God is big enough to really show you. And he really showed me via that dream. And it was like a dream Joseph had, no different. Just that it was in this day and time and it was little old me. So I encourage you, don't be discouraged at your circumstances. But look to God and ask God to build your faith and your imagination. You need to start seeing yourself where you want to be. See yourself as already doing it. And then speak in the manner that when you're saying it to anyone, that you've already achieved it. That's the way it works. That's the way God set it up. This is the law of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Sangeet gave many testimonies, and Bhupendra at the time, when he was running in India, they would see devil spirits run out their city. They would see the word move from out of India into other countries, which it is now doing. They would confess, and God spoke to my heart, Lawrence, say what you want, not what you see. So we don't declare our emotional feelings. We don't declare our fears. We don't declare, I can't do, this ain't happening, because you're just going to recreate that. And you're going to discourage yourself. So God is a God of encouragement. He wants you so greatly encouraged. And he wants you to see yourself as his son. Because that's who you are. You've got God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you need to operate from the spiritual mind, not the carnal mind. And this is why we do the speaking in tongues. We're using the spiritual ability, the practicing of the manifestations of Holy Spirit, like ministering healing, like we did on Thursday. We begin in these areas. We see ourselves as a spiritual person in a physical body, but we see ourselves moving like Christ. We see ourselves in a relationship with God, like Christ was in a relationship with God. See yourself speaking to the Father in the manner that Jesus Christ spoke to the Father. Because you can. You can do the same works that he'd done, and greater, because he goes to the Father. Now we're ambassadors for God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent both. And we can do those work. God has equipped us. He's provided for us everything that we need to move forward in this manner. And the best thing that he's provided for us is the heavenly words, the right direction. In the book of Genesis, chapter 11, it talks about the Tower of Babel. I just want to read it to you. And it's only six verses. It says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Recognize those words. One language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city, and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And then it says in verse 5, and the Lord, Jehovah, came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is, listen to the key words, is one, and they all have one language. And this they began to do. So they believed the same thing. They were in agreement about building this tower that went to heaven, into the heavens. They agreed with it. They were, you know, they were speaking the same thing. And they were of one language, and they were in complete agreement. And this they began to do, and God says, and now nothing will restrain them which they have imagined to do. It started with the words and that imagination building in their minds. They got the picture of the city, the picture of this tower, and nothing was going to stop them from achieving it. But God didn't want that to happen. So the languages got scattered, and they were scattered across all the broad of the earth, right? So they couldn't come into agreement no longer. They couldn't continue with that. You know, and so the imagination, which comes from the words, which is where your faith is, or your fear is. If you think, when you're fearing something, when you're fearing situations, when you're anxious about something, what does your mind do? It runs wild, right? You imagine the worst case scenarios. You imagine the dreaded things, you know, and your mind's scrambled, and you've got to fight for your peace, and then you're getting on your knees, oh God, help me. My mind's everywhere. I don't want this to happen to me. If something's going wrong in your finances or in your relationships, or there might look like there's a breakup, and you imagine the worst things possible, or nothing's going right in your job, you imagine the worst things possible. No money. How am I going to pay the rent? We'll lose the house. Oh, am I going to be put to shame? But God will not let you be put to shame. So the fear works just as powerful as faith. And for the most part, Satan's been able to get us to look at our circumstances and get us to agree with that and the feelings of our heart. Your mind gives out signals. Your faith gives out signals. It sends out signals in the earth. And your emotions attracts what you're thinking. So what are you thinking? What are you believing? It's called the law of faith, all of this stuff. So what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, you draw to you. You receive. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, synchronization, that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is the criteria to receiving Holy Spirit, that you really believe in your heart and you confess Jesus as your Lord. Your heart and your words are married together, and you're speaking it out, and that's what will become. So when we speak about something, when we're believing, Jesus said in Matthew 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. Believe you already got it. This is where we can go wrong in our prayer, because we pray as it's in the future and it's not happened yet, and we're begging God. And God doesn't want us to beg him for anything. He wants us to believe him. So when we're praying for something, we pray like we've already got it. Get it, you know, we get into meditation, let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable. Be in synchronization for your confession, for you to declare it, for you to pray it. Don't you think God knows all the problems you got, or maybe situations? God says, be anxious for nothing, right? He knows the problem. He doesn't want us to dwell on the problem. He wants us not to be anxious about it, but to pray to him about it. He doesn't really need to know it, because he already knows it. He needs us to take the burden out of our heart and put it to him, so that then we can be at peace. And it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, right, shall keep your hearts and minds, what? Settled, still, pure, beautiful, you know, focused. And let's read the next verse. So I'm going to read the next, Philippians 4. It's good to go over these, even though we all know it. And it says, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding. First thing, when you're not got understanding, you've lost your peace. So we go to God for the peace. Mm-hmm. We pray. We tell him the problem, even though we know he knows it. He just wants us to unload it off our hearts to his. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Wow, that's what we all need, all understanding. Right? Shall keep your hearts and minds synchronized so you can confess through Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, you can see it's all about synchronization of your thoughts, feelings and emotions and your mind and then speaking it forth. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. See, God's resetting your thinking. It's like resetting a computer, right? Resetting your thinking. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, not a bad one. If there be any virtue, if there be any virtue, what's this word virtue? Excellence. If there be any excellence, and if there be any praise, you know, magnifying God, think on these things. Think on these things. He says, don't think on your problem. Don't think on how you're going to get around the situation. But give the burden to God. Get that peace in your heart. Be thankful. Give him thanks to God. Let your request be made unto him. Okay, Father, I thank you for taking care of this. I'm giving it to you. Thank you for that wonderful peace. Oh, thank you for the understanding of my next moves. Oh, so I'm truly, truly thankful, God. I'm truly looking at the honest things, the honest and good things in life, you know, and the just things in life, and the pure things in life, and the lovely things in life. Oh, and I'm looking for that good report, you know, the gospel of Christ. If there be any virtue, excellence, and if there be any praise, I'm thinking on these things. I've switched my thinking from the carnal to the spiritual. Those things which you have both learned, Paul says, and received and heard, and seen in me, do. If you do these things, Paul says, I'm doing these things. This is why I'm encouraging you, Paul says. The God of peace shall be with you. And so, you know, and again, in Colossians, there's another record that comes to my mind. I don't know why I go to the scriptures, but God's bringing it to my mind. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We're not seeking the things in this earth. We don't want to seek the things. We can get the things in the earth easily. And if we do it with God first, we get what we desire as well. All right? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And you're seated with him, by the way. Set your affections. You know, set your mind. You know, set your... entertain your mind with the heavenly things above, not on the things of this earth. Don't dwell on what's happening in the world. Don't dwell on the glory of the world or the destruction of the world or the downgrading of society in the world or whatever's happening. Don't set your affections there, but set your affections on speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ, getting people reconciled to God, born again, saved from hell, healed, delivered, signs, miracles and wonders, and just fellowship to fellowship, from house to house, growing. It says, for you are dead. Your old nature's dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Wow, look what we got to look forward to. Mortify, as we learnt before. No, blow up, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, and inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. Idolatry is anything before God. For which things sake the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience. Those people that live that way as unbelievers, they're getting the wrath of God. We shouldn't be getting that wrath, right? In the which ye also walked once, sometimes means once, when you lived in them. We behaved and thought like the world did before we got the Spirit of God. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man, the old nature, with his deeds, with what he does. And I've put on the new man, Christ in you, which is renewed in the knowledge after the what? Image. There's that word image again. Likeness of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, even bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And then it says this, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, pure, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the love of God in the renewed mind, which is the bond of perfectness. And here we go. And let the peace, this is where I wanted to get to, by the way, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. You can marry that up with Philippians, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then it goes on, wives, submit yourselves. I love that one. That's my favorite verse. God is with you. And so we want to move in the right way. And God is giving great heavenly words for all of us to move in that right way. And all we have to do is practice it. And it's got to be from our heart we want to do it. I can't make you do it. I can only remind you and encourage you to do those things when it comes to speaking, praying, connecting, honoring God, praying for laborers, whatever it is. It's up to you. You are free to do exactly what you want to do. But I would encourage you, receive these words. Go to God. Let him enlighten your eyes. You know, and get your heart and your words correlated together, and then speak it forth like you've already got it. I've got a wonderful fellowship. I've got many, many ready-made fields, many ready-to-go laborers. We're moving God's word throughout the whole of the United Kingdom, all of Europe. The whole world is watching. And USA and other places where God has opened up the door for us, we're very successful because God has made us successful, because we are applying the successful things that God gives us to do. And we give all glory to God, because without him we are nothing and we can do nothing of ourselves. So, yeah, this is why I wanted to encourage you, just based upon some of the things that has been shared. But your imagination, your thoughts, heart, your mind, your emotions, you know, you can keep in check. You're in control of your thinking. You're to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We don't let our imagination run wild with the things of this world. You know, with the glory of the world. You know, there's the glory of the world. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ was shown all the glory of the world from Satan. He says, you can have anything you want. I own it all if you fall down and worship me. Because that's what you're going to do if you're going to get the world. We want the word. And we want God's word living in us. The truth living. And affecting other people's lives and families and little ones, and helping people with the, you know, standard of the truth of the word, which sets people free. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share.